It is great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of Azalea City Church of Christ. Thank you for helping, as Justin mentioned, so much with our Family Vacation Bible School. We had a great Vacation Bible School. It was just awesome, and I miss Tina. I appreciate her direction on that, and I appreciate all those who coordinated and fell in line along the way and helped us out. Some who stepped up and worked late hours and did a lot of things to be able to help children have seeds planted. Now we certainly want to be able to follow up with those, and hopefully we will be able to do that. We are going to be talking about glorifying God today. I believe that this is something we certainly need to do more of in 2018. It amazes me how often when Steve comes up with songs, most of the time we discuss either, you know, through conversation or text or something. But I don't know that he knew what I was going to preach on today, but there that last song talked about all His glory is exalted. Today it is my prayer that we have through these songs, and I believe Steve has picked a great selection of songs today, we have been able to glorify God's name. As Carl came and read to us from a scripture that we'll open up with, Psalm 72, in just a moment, I pray that these words will glorify God's name. I am confident in Theo's prayer that God's name was glorified through Jimmy's residing over this table and reminding us of the dirtiness of the world, but the cleanliness of Jesus Christ. God was glorified. It is my prayer that through the words today, we will be challenged, we will be encouraged, and through it all, we will leave here glorifying God every step of the way. Let's make sure that we pray for that at this time. Father, we love You and we thank You so much for the many ways You bless us. Father, we pray that Your name today and every day of our lives from this point forward will be glorified. Father, You are deserving of glory. You are glory. And Father, we're so thankful that as glorious as You are, You chose us. And Father, we have the privilege, even though we have failed You so many times, to come home to Your glory through the precious and glorious blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as we talk about bringing glory to Your name at this time, that we will do that not only today, but we'll do it more often in 2018. Thank You for Azalea City Church of Christ, for our elders who shepherd this flock. Thank You for those who stepped up during our Vacation Bible School. For those who may be taking that much-awaited vacation with their families today, I pray for their safety as they come home to us. Father, I pray that we will, wherever we go, around anybody we come in contact with, bring glory to Your name. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 72, verse 18. And verse 19, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Isn't that amazing? That's an awesome verse to keep in your back pocket when you're having a bad day. And you might think, hey God, why me? Remember, God doesn't do bad things. God only does wondrous things. Verse 19, and blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. When I think about this verse, it reminds me of a few things. First of all, our God is glorious. Our God is glory. Our everything about God is glorious. And we're going to talk more about that in a moment. But it also reminds us that God has a name. That name, Jehovah, His name, God, His name, Yahweh, His name, Lord, His name, Jesus, His name, Spirit, His name, God's name. And we could go on and on with the names of God. I could preach a whole sermon on that. But His name should be a glorious name. Quite frankly, there are too many people taking His name and making it unglorious. They're corrupting it. They're taking it in vain. They're using it in a way that only puts it as a name that is just any other name. But see, folks, our God deserves our glory. He demands our glory. That means if we hear somebody, or we're typing text, or we see it wherever, or we, and you know, I try to practice this as much as I'm preaching it to you. I can't say I've been perfect at it, but if I'm around someone and they're using God's name in an exclamation, they're using it in excitement, they're using it in a text, they're using it in text initials, knowing good and well they mean to use it spelled out completely, or they're using it with profanity behind it, I try to say, hey, really? That's not the way that God's name should be used. You see, God's name's glorious. Everything about our God is glorious. And we need to treat God that way. We need to make sure we're living our lives in a way that brings glory to His name. So, I want to ask you, the most glorious event that's ever happened, that's Jesus coming to earth. We just celebrated that as we partook of the Lord's Supper together. I want to ask the question, why did Jesus come to earth to die? We know that Jesus came to earth. We know that Jesus came and He died. We know that Jesus came and He was buried. And we know that Jesus came and He was resurrected. And we know that He came to do that so that we can go to heaven. But I want you to know there was more to it than that. In your Bibles, in John 17, Jesus says these words beginning in verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You. As You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Note verse 4. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. Jesus came to this earth, and part of it was dying, being buried, and raising for us, that He came to this earth to fulfill the Father's glory. He came to this earth to bring glory and honor to His Father. See, Jesus knew what glory was. He had been with God in heaven above. He had been with God while they were there together creating us, creating the world. He gave up that glory we're reminded of in Philippians and other passages. And He came to this earth, but His mission was to glorify God and point people to the glory of His Father. So a good question for us today is this. Why are we here? If that was Jesus' mission and we're on a Jesus mission to go into all the world and make disciples, baptize and teach, why are we doing that? We are doing that to fulfill the Father's will. We are doing that to bring glory to His name. And so I need to ask myself some hard questions in just a moment. But before we get there, I want you to go and think about a man who also had to ask himself some hard questions, and that's the Apostle Paul. See, Paul came to understanding what his role was in being on earth. He thought his role was to be a Pharisee of Pharisees. He thought his role was to be maybe a tent maker. He thought his role was to persecute the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God, he saw the light. In Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, as he was going there to persecute Christians, he saw Jesus. He saw God in all His glory. It was so strong, in fact, that it blinded him. And it brought him to his knees. While he was there on his knees, he started, I would imagine, asking himself some questions. What am I doing? Why am I here? What does he want from me? You see, Jesus had handpicked Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, of course. He had handpicked him to be a chosen vessel, to be a chosen person, someone that he wanted to bear his name before the Jews, the Gentiles, kings, and other rulers. He wanted his name glorified, and he was going to use Paul to do that. As I think about that, and I think about Paul ultimately giving his faith to Jesus, to God through Jesus Christ, as he gave his love to Him, as he gave his obedience to Him, and then finally he gave the glory to Him. That F-L-O-G, you know, flog, if you will. He gave his faith, his love, his obedience, and the glory to God. He ultimately became a great soul winner. He became a mission-oriented person. He brought glory to God everywhere he went. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. He failed. He was a failure. He was a sinner. He called himself the chief of sinners. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, he could be made whole again. He got dirty, but he became clean. And through all of that, he praised God. In fact, he penned these words to a church that needed some cleaning, to a church that needed some encouragement, a church that needed some toes stepped on, a church that needed to get back to bringing glory to God, and that's the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, he penned these words, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That became Paul's mission. And because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen those words, it became our mission. Whatever we eat, whatever we drink, we can associate with that, right? Because today we are going to eat and drink, probably already have. We are going to eat, we are going to drink, we are going to breathe, we are going to talk, we are going to walk, we are going to do whatever. Whatever we do, the question needs to be asked, is it our mission in what we're doing to bring glory to our God? Nothing is about us. It's not. Too often, and I guess this is kind of my thing, and I'm just going to preach it until I can't preach anymore. Hopefully that'll just be when I'm in glory with God, okay? But there was a time I was selfish. There was a time when it was about me. There was a time when we didn't get out of the terrible twos, and it was mine, 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 mine. But we walked this aisle saying, I'm ready to submit. I'm going to give you my faith. I'm going to give you my love. I'm going to give you my obedience. And we followed Jesus all the way to the waters of baptism. And we went down in the water and we killed selfishness. We killed it. We killed mine. We killed ours. We killed I. We killed all the sins that we chose for ourselves. We put it to death. and we were buried with Him, and we came up out of the water to walk in newness of life, and it became about Him. But people are leaving churches or jumping churches because they made it about them. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It is about Him. And that's how we must live our lives. And that's not my word. That's God's word. Whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we do, do it all to the glory of God. So that leads us to this question. How then can we live a life that glorifies God? Maybe that's a question that's on your heart today. Maybe it's a question of checks and balances to make sure we've lived our life that way. If it is, I'm glad, because I'm going to give you three ways. They're easy to remember, but I hope you will remember them, because folks, of all the sermons I've preached, let's not miss the importance of bringing glory to God. Vacation Bible School, God gets the glory. Yes, we praise people for helping and assisting, and I will always do that, but I always point it to God because it's about Him. Whatever we do, it's got to be about God. So here we go. Number one, how can we live a life that glorifies God? We need to recognize God's glory. We need to see it. That's why we put the eye on there. We need to recognize it. We need to understand what God's glory is. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to sound like I'm going to contradict everything that I've already preached for the first few minutes of this sermon. So, stay with me though. Here's what you need to know about God's glory. Even though we are to glorify God, He doesn't need our glory. He doesn't need it. And let me explain why. God doesn't need us to become glorious. In Isaiah chapter 6, we learn about God's glory. We won't have time to look at that today, but study that in your personal Bible study this week. It's the call of Isaiah to be a prophet of God. And Isaiah, I think, this is Terry, okay, commentary by Terry. All right? I think that Isaiah felt pretty good about himself, even in a hard time. I mean, he had some fortitude about him, right? He had some courage, some guts about him. He's ready to step up. King Uzziah has died. He has this vision, this moment where he gets to the glory of God. There are angels flying around everywhere, and all they're doing is chanting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And Isaiah, man, I would imagine, you know, when he went into that scene, he thought, you know, I'm a pretty good fella. But then he saw the glory of God. And you know what he said? "Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." And he starts spitting. You know, and they purge him and everything, and ultimately says, "Here am I, God, send me." He sees God and he realizes, whoa, God didn't need me. He's glorious. God is so glorious. If today we could go into a king's throne room and we were visitors of this particular place, and this king was reigning on his throne, we would bow down by the custom and give the glory to the king. Now imagine this. Imagine the king in his spare time takes his crown off, puts some old clothes on, and he goes out and he starts, I don't know, farming in the backyard. And we wander up on him in the backyard. You know what we would look at him as? As an old farmer. But when he puts his crown back on, he puts his robe back on, he goes back in there, he's king. Folks, it's the crown and the throne that makes him glorious. Not with God. God's glorious all the time. A judge in a courtroom. They put their robe on, we go into that courtroom, yes, Your Honor, we give them glory. They take their clothes off, we see them in a restaurant, we don't go up to them and say, oh, Your Honor. No, we treat them like a person. Why? Because the robe makes them glorious. Not with God. He's glorious all the time. Police officer, serviceman, servicewoman, in uniform, we respect, we honor. When they're not, we treat them like human beings. Why? Because it's the badge that gives them honor. Not with God. God is always on His throne, and God is always glorious, and we should always bring Him glory. Imagine today we could have a world where there is no world. Okay? I know it's hard to believe and imagine, but just do it for me. There are no people. There's no world. There's no people. There's no church. There are no angels. Guess what? There's only God. There's only the Godhead. Guess what? Still glorious. He's still glorious. We need to recognize how glorious God is. God and glorious are inseparable. You cannot separate the two. How then, once we recognize, like Isaiah did, how glorious God is, how can we give glory back to God? By praising Him. When we are not here for worship, that should bother us. And I'm talking about even if we're sick, even if we're working. I'm not saying those are not reasons to miss. I'm not saying those aren't excused absences, okay? I'm just saying it should bother us. You know why? Because we couldn't corporately come together and glorify God. George preached a sermon one time about God being on His throne right here. Would we act differently? We certainly would. In a lot of ways. A lot of times. But God is here. And He's on His throne. And He is glorious whether we're giving Him the glory or not. But we need to recognize His glory. And we need to be a part of worship. And we need to sing. Steve tells us, sing. And He'll call us out sometimes and make us keep on putting our lights up and all those things. You know what He's doing? He's trying to get us on the same page. And I appreciate that because singing praises to God are bringing glory. It's bringing glory to Him. Teenagers, you might think, and again, I have no idea, you may all sing, and if you do, I'm proud of you, but when I was a youth minister, not everybody sang. There are some adults, there may be some one-to-ones, or some millennials, or some people that think, man, that singing ain't very cool today. I don't care. Listen, I love you. I love you, but I don't care whether you think it's cool or not. It's about not about us. It's about God. It's about singing glory to Him. And we need to do it. We need to make sure we're not distracted by iPads and iPhones and everything else. It's about God. Folks, I can't say it any plainer. It's about His glory. And we need to recognize it. Giving. And listen, I know that some people can give more than others, but everybody can give something. There is something we can give. And that's not to pay my salary and Justin's salary and Jason's salary. That's not it. It's about bringing glory and giving it to God. In other words, we recognize God's glory. We then need to reflect God's glory. we are to do some things to the glory of God? No, all things. The why, okay, the why, W-H-Y, behind everything we do is to glorify God. If that is not our reasoning, you know what we're doing? We're wasting time. If our reasoning is not to bring glory to God, if that's not our backing behind everything we do, then we're wasting time. I heard recently that we take 23,000 breaths a day. I have no idea. I've never counted them. And I probably never will. But it sounded good. It sounded like a lot. 23,000 breaths a day. Well, guess what? Every one of those should be about glorifying God. Ask yourselves two questions. I'm asking myself as well. Before I do something, before I embark on something, number one, does this bring glory to God? And number two, if the answer is no, is can I make it bring glory to God? Right? I mean, what a test. When I recognize God's glory, how amazing He is, the next question is, okay, if I'm going to do this on this website, I'm going to send this text message, I'm going to put this into my body, whatever you do, again, let's ask ourselves, does it bring glory to God? If it doesn't, can I make it bring glory to God? If the answer is no to both of those, then I don't need to do it. I preach sermons I need to hear. Bottom line. And I hope you do as well. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, Paul reminded us there, our body is a temple. And we need to use it to the glory of God. I'm not getting into that today. I just want to take you back to the temple of Solomon. Solomon's temple was amazing. The Holy of Holies, amazing. David's idea, Solomon got it done. Over the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, there were walls, like a room. They were overlaid with gold. That's not gold paint. That is gold melted down that they overlaid over it. There were hand-carved cherubim out of olive trees where they carved out this angel with this big wing that touched the wall. They came up and had another wing that did this. They were hand-carved olive trees overlaid. Guess what? Pure gold. Then there was another one that had its wing here and touched the wall here, overlaid pure gold, and underneath those sat the Ark of the Covenant. This was Solomon's temple. Now, how many people would go in there and spray paint profanity on the wall? How many people would go in there and just take a bat to those cherubim and just beat them down? None of us would do that. Well, are we using our bodies, which is the temple of God today, for the glory of God? We are made by God. We are made for God. We are made in the image of God, so let's use all of that to bring glory to God. The moon reflects the sun. What if tonight the moon said, nah, I'm just not going to do it, son. I'm just refuse to reflect your glory. Well, obviously that would throw a lot of things out of balance. Not just lighting, tides and other things, right? It would throw a lot of things out of balance if the sun said, nah, today I'm just going to take the day off. We are moons. And we've got to reflect the glory of God. Father God, just for today, maybe this is our prayer, help me walk Your narrow way. Help me stand when I might fall. Give me Your strength to hear Your call. May my steps be worship. May my thoughts be praise. May my words bring honor to Your name. Finally, we need to receive God's glory. I'm going to take you back to John 17. We recognize it, we reflect it, we receive it. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundations of this world. In order to receive God's glory, we must receive Jesus Christ. Simple as that. We receive the glory when we receive His glorious Son. Philippians chapter 2, you know this passage, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now listen to this. Therefore God also highly exalted Him, and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the time of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is coming a time, whether people have cursed His name, spat upon His name, or mocked His name, that they will still bow and bring glory to God. But there's going to come a point in time when they will not receive the glory. Yes, Satan's going to bow one day. Everyone will bow. Everyone will confess. But if we wait to that point, we may not receive the glory of God. Why would we wait? Why not today? Why not this moment? There are a lot of ways for people to get recognized. Brother Gerald had a nice note. We recognized him a few weeks ago. By the way, he has received his plaque. Great man, needs honor. The Bible says to honor him, we did. Elders, we honor them. Others, we honor. 50th anniversaries, we honor. You know, a great athlete might get their jersey retired. They might get a ring for being in the Hall of Fame, a bust in the Hall of Fame. They may get a statue at their university built after them. There are a lot of ways people get recognized, but the greatest way we can be recognized today is by receiving God's glory and Him writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today, you want to bring glory to God? Submit yourself to Him. Be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Everything we do, all 23,000 breaths, every step we take, everything we do, let's bring glory to God and let's do it right now together. We